This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
10 shows away till the Texans draft. John Lopez has a list of the 10 biggest regrets in Texans draft history. We're going to get into that right now, and then after that, we're going to talk about the stuff that people brag about most on social media. 713-572-4610 to get in on that. But we were just talking about the biggest scams. Loophole Joe
from Tennessee,
who lives in Tennessee, gave us a great, great one. And I think this one might take the cake, actually.
Out-of-state tuition.
What the hell is that?
Dude, that's that might be the winner. What is that?
I got it waived when I went to Oklahoma State.
Exactly.
It's
just a total money grab. Where is the cost to the university? They're still paying tuition. They're still paying books. They're still paying, everything, housing. They just happen to live out of state. Out of state tuition. Dude.
Yeah, is absolute garbage. 10 shows till the Texans draft. John Lopez is about to present you with a list of the 10 biggest regrets the Texans have ever made on draft day.
With the first choice in the 2002 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select David Carr, quarterback from Fresno State.
Can you boo that here? It's not like this is a surprise.
Maybe they knew something, boo.
Yeah, they did. They did know something. All right, the 10 things the Texans could have done differently in the draft over the years. And it comes in two parts. The first part is the first generation of Texans teams that we knew. You know, those with David Carr and some other early players, Seth Payne, Gary Walker, Aaron Glenn, we know the names, Dominic Davis, all those. And what could have been different? And I want to make clear here, this isn't like fantasy stuff. Like, well, instead of David Carr, they should have done this. And that's not even a good example. But like instead of this guy.
It's realistic regrets. It's not like a first-round pick. They should have taken Tom Brady, who went in the
sixth. Not only were the players available that you could have drafted instead of the ones you did, but they were at either the exact same position or a stated position of need that year. I remember all these years, and I certainly remember the drafts, and I'll explain as I go along. So in the first part, and let's talk also about like the trickle-down effect here because it's very reasonable as well. Rather than drafting David Carr, as you just heard, draft Julius Peppers, all right? And what you could have done, and they had a veteran quarterback here to help David Carr allegedly get going, but let's say that they had a veteran quarterback for about 3 years just kind of to stem the tide until they could establish themselves as an organization. You have Julius Peppers on one end. You have that great defense. That defense, by the way, was a top 10 defense, which is one of the most amazing things about this organization early on. So you draft Julius Peppers instead of David Carr, number one overall. That's in 2002. 2003, you drafted Benny Joppru. You needed
41st overall.
You needed a tight end. You drafted Benny Joppru in the second round. Well, there was another tight end available.
He went 28 picks later.
Yeah. And his name was Jason Witten.
And he also visited, but Charlie Casserly made him do a blind beanbag toss reason.
They were interested in Jason Witten. They chose Benny Joppru. All right, so also in 2003, you decided to take Tony Hollings, a running back. I believe he was from Wake Forest, one of those, Vanderbilt. Anyway.
Yeah, who knows? Who cares?
Tony Hollings, a running back with a supplemental draft pick. A second-round supplemental draft pick.
Oh, my gosh.
Which means you forfeit your
second-rounder. You must really like him.
Which means you forfeit your second-round pick, the corresponding pick, the next year. So you forfeit the 2004 second-round pick for Tony Hollings, okay? Remember that. In the first round in 2004, you needed help at outside linebacker and safety. You drafted Jason Babin in the first round.
He had a lot of tats. He was sleeved up.
A lot of tats, not a lot of tackles. The safety that you could have drafted and were considering was Bob Sanders, who ended up with the Colts and ended up haunting you and the rest of the NFL and ended up being a big part of their Super Bowl. All right? So we're still in 2004. Remember that supplemental pick that you gave up, the second rounder? Well, had you kept it on the board, was Michael Turner the running back, which is the position you needed. That's why you got Tony Hollings. So here you go. You could have had Julius Peppers, Jason Witten, Bob Sanders, and then you have Michael Turner at running back, which means you're 3 years under your belt as an organization. Now it's time to draft a quarterback in 2005, right?
Okay, yeah. I remember, if I recall, there was one who was supposed to be the number one overall pick. Then for whatever reason, because Urban Meyer's Utah team had such a good season, Alex Smith was the first pick, and then a quarterback by the name of something Rogers.
Travis
slid.
Johnson was your pick in the first round.
Oh, my.
Available right behind him was Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So that's the first half of this organization's history.
Generation one, if you
Generation
will.
One. Your defense could have had all those guys that you knew, along with Julius Peppers and Bob Sanders. Your offense could have had, Andre Johnson, Jason Witten, Michael Turner, and Aaron Rodgers. That's a Super Bowl team.
Just Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's a Super Bowl right there. Aaron, you imagine if Andre Johnson got to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers?
With Jason Witten as his compliment. And Michael Turner coming out of the backfield.
Man.
Think about that. All right, let's go to the second generation of the Texans.
I don't even know if I want to. I'm depressed. We're talking about the Texans' 10 biggest draft regrets. 10 shows away from the NFL draft.
Started in about 2007, this second generation, okay? In the first round, the Texans really, really needed. I remember this discussion very well. They needed help on the defensive front and at linebacker, okay? They drafted Amobi Okoye with the first round.
Because he was 12.
And he was like 17, 18 years old.
They acted 19, like he was going to have like a 30-year career because he was so young.
And had that potential. They passed on a guy that went right behind him named Patrick Willis.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah, there was a cornerback available as well for the defense that needed help. Darrell Revis.
He was pretty good, too.
But in 07, they were really after defensive line and linebacker. So let's eliminate Darrell Revis, okay?
Okay.
The next year, they did need a cornerback. They drafted a cornerback, okay? They drafted Brandon Harris in 2011. And they drafted Brandon Harris in 2011. They really, really needed a cornerback. Drafted behind Brandon Harris?
Oh, no.
Richard Sherman.
Oh, my gosh.
They also had J.J. Watt in 11. So they could have had J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman.
I'm going to cry.
In the same draft.
I'm going to cry.
And again, this isn't fantasy land because these are the positions they needed and targeted. They also were targeting a receiver in the third round of the 2012 NFL draft, somebody to complement an aging Andre Johnson. So they drafted Devere Posey. Also drafted later in the third round, T.Y. Hilton.
Oh, my gosh. That's a double-edged sword right there.
Yeah, because he's haunting you, and he could have been haunting the other team. So we moved to 2013, where the biggest need was safety, right? They got a decent one. He wore out his welcome pretty quick here in Houston, but he made some plays and had some moments. DJ Swearinger in the third round. Drafted behind DJ Swearinger was Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. So let's go to 2014. That's a no-brainer, right? Number one overall pick, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, some people were wondering, should they draft Jadeveon Clowney or this guy, Khalil Mack? Probably should have drafted Khalil Mack. Isn't that something? Like, and again, I just want to emphasize, this isn't like, well, you could say that about any year. No, I'm talking about the years where they targeted position players of the same position.
You want to go back to 2015, more recent?
Yeah.
Kevin Johnson selected 16 overall.
Mm-hmm.
In the next 17 picks of that draft, so up to number 33 overall, there were three Pro Bowl defensive backs selected.
Oh, my God.
Marcus Peters. Right after him. We know he's not really like a Texans type of guy. Byron Jones of the Dallas Cowboys. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's about to get paid. And Landon Collins, who's been to four Pro Bowls with the New York Giants.
Gosh.
And what did they get from Kevin Johnson?
A whole lot of suck.
Yep. That's right.
They sure did.
10 biggest Texans draft regrets. I enjoyed that list.
I enjoyed making it because I was just trying to make sure, like, this isn't just some crazy idea, pie in the sky stuff, but guys that they were really considering.
Realistic, yeah.
And were realistic. And I remember the Aaron Rodgers discussion very vividly. And that's another thing about this. I said, suppose they didn't draft David Carr number one and had Julius Peppers. Even after they drafted David Carr number one, by his fourth year, which they were going into his fourth year, people are already saying, man, they should draft Aaron Rodgers or Alex Smith if they get a chance because David Carr isn't the answer. I mean, he had already played three full years and was already on the downward spiral. So even had they drafted David Carr, Aaron Rodgers was a possibility or at least talked about.
Because I remember when Rodgers went back to Cal, they were talking about this guy's going to be the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. And then Urban Meyer, this was actually the year he got the Florida job because Ron Zook was on the way out. Urban Meyer led Utah to that undefeated season. I think mm-hmm. they beat Pittsburgh in a BCS game, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I believe so. And they were saying all of a sudden Alex Smith was being talked about over Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers just plummeted. There are a lot of teams that needed quarterbacks that passed on Aaron Rodgers, but I couldn't imagine where the Texans would be as a franchise had they done that. A loophole weighed in on another regret that the Texans have had in the draft. Keith, shout out to Loophole Keith. When they selected Jabbar Gaffney, they could have had Clinton Portis out of Miami.
Yeah, they could have.
He was pretty good.
Another very real discussion at the time, like on the air, like on these shows that we are on right now, I remember having the discussion as well, was about Patrick Willis versus, it wasn't Amobi Okoye. Amobi Okoye was kind of a surprise. Whoever the big defensive tackle name was that year, I don't have it in front of me. But like Patrick Willis was a big time discussion, and they passed him and went with Okoye.
5838 weighed in on the Travis Johnson pick. Probably one of the worst picks they've made. Maybe mm-hmm. I mean, just hindsight, it wasn't a good fit.
Probably third worst priority pick behind Jopru and Okoye.
And it wasn't really a schematic fit either. They could have had Derek Johnson, but they traded back. Thank mm-hmm. you to 5838. For pointing that out. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Sports Radio 610. Social media has become a platform for bragging. I feel like people brag a lot on social media. What are the things people brag about most on social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? What are the things that people brag about most, John Lopez?
Well, first of all, I think that's one of the big problems with social media. One of the big effects of social media is why so many people get depressed. And I'm not even exaggerating, because they think that everybody else has perfect lives. Because on social media, people only post the good stuff. You know,
some people post the bad.
Well, like deaths.
A little too much information.
Like deaths and stuff. But by and large, like, nobody says, posts a picture of their house in a shambles and say, I would love to fix my roof, but I'm three payments behind on the mortgage. I mean, has that ever been posted anywhere on social media? You know?
Hell no.
Everybody just posts the good stuff, not the real stuff, the reality, the bitter and the better. So that's the first thing. But what do people post the most on social media? Where they are. Now, maybe that's too broad, but like, look at me. I'm somewhere that you want to be. You know, let me depress you even more if you're there.
Armani Gracia says promotions and their kids in a big college.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Fuentes says for younger adults, sexual accomplishments, positive or negative, older adults, health, good or bad. I don't know too many kids posting sexual accomplishments. Is that a thing?
I don't know about that, but one thing that a texter just messaged and is absolutely correct, how perfect their relationship is.
Oh, yeah, and they're divorced a week later.
<No.
laughs> They're divorced
broken
a week
up
later.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I love
that's
my
guy. Okay. Why is his hand on that other girl's butt? I mean,
someone else said they're kids.
Well, that I understand that.
Food?
Food. Everybody's proud of
it. I think vegans brag the most on social media.
It used to be CrossFitters.
Mm-hmm.
CrossFitters used to be the worst. My gosh, CrossFitters used to be unbearable on social media.
Vegans, not all, but the ones that think you're dumb because you're not doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those.
And my wife is a pescatarian. She eats fish, but pretty much everything else is vegetarian.
But some vegans,
to her
just,
credit, she doesn't like. I'll be eating steak and brisket, you know, or whatever.
Some people just preach to you all day long
all
on social
day.
Media. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's irritating.
Oh, GoFundMe is for the person with the house. Somebody texted.
GoFundMe, yeah. There's a lot of GoFundMe on social media. What about their work ethic?
Oh yeah.
Hashtag rising grind guy.
God, Mike,
you hate that guy, don't you?
I hate that term so much. Rise and grind. Okay, sure. Sure, you're grinding.
You hate the rise and grind, yeah.
I hate. Oh, meal preppers. That's a big thing right now.
Oh, gosh.
That's a big
thing. I can't say I haven't done that before.
No, I meal prep, but I don't post about it.
I've done it once, man. Once or twice, maybe. Maybe I've bragged about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the relationship one is the best, especially when they end up getting like divorced like 3 weeks later. Or if you know the couple and you know it's not a very good couple and they're sitting there posting. I also, this is another thing. Why are all these people wishing their grandpa a happy birthday on Facebook if he doesn't have Facebook? What purpose does that serve?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just bragging.
I guess just bragging. Yeah.
Figgy, maybe what do you brag about? What is Figgy brags about his dog?
Sometimes, but I brag more about my job. I always brag because it's a bunch of people who...
Well, you love your work.
Yeah, and plus it's a bunch of people who think I wouldn't make it this far. So I like to
rub
it
in people's faces. Oh, that's great. That's great, yeah.
So I like to show people like, hey, look what I'm doing now.
Bite me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bite Me podcast.
Well, no, I meant like the literal Bite Me, but thank you for the shout out.
How is the Bite Me podcast going, by the way?
It's going great. It's going great. By the way, the Star Tournament just... got on board with the Bite Me podcast, and I wanted to remind people to register for that.
The what network?
The Star Tournament.
Oh, the Star Tournament?
The CCA Texas Star Tournament, yeah.
Are you going to be in it?
I'm in it every year.
How do you do?
I'm in it. I've never
in it. How do you do?
I've never won it. I've caught some that
a whole close. Lot of suck.
Yeah, no, not, I wouldn't go that far. Wouldn't go that far. But yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Bite Me is going through the roof. Shout out to all the people who listen to us here and then listen to the Bite Me podcast. The numbers are outrageous, and we just do it for fun, you know.
And even if you don't listen, just go subscribe. While you're at it, you don't have to be a UT football fan. Just subscribe to the 41 Acres. We're going to drop one after the spring game.
There you and go. Gyms and Juice.
And Gyms and Juice.
And
you don't even have to listen. Just subscribe. That's all that matters. Bite Me podcast, 41 Acres.
I want you to be a better fisherman.
Gyms and Juice podcast, which, by the way, I gave them a topic this week.
You did?
Where does Master P rank among the most influential people in hip hop?
So yeah, we talked about that and the crunk era.
The crunk era. Will history be kind to the crunk era of hip hop? I don't know if it will or not, but damn, I enjoyed it.
Stay tuned.
Shout out to Lil Jon. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Sports Radio 610. Another former teammate had some harsh words for Ben Roethlisberger, and there are some visits going on before the draft that should scare Texans fans. We're going to go around the NFL next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.